Good morning, everybody. So we need to start on time because they said that they will have a clock keeper that will close the discussion at I think it's just top of the hour. So my name is Frédéric Saint-Joigny. I'm the EMEA channel manager for Aruba. I came from the Aruba acquisition. I've been at Aruba for 7 years. And today I would like to present you maybe another perspective of Aruba. So first, before I start, two things that Petra just reminded me. So first, there is an evaluation form. Probably you have it or you have to fill it when you leave and you get a memory stick. And there is also a demo on the stand. And the prize is a ticket for the Discover event. It's in November, and this year it's in Madrid, a la Feria de Madrid. Good. So let's get started because we have only 20 minutes. I realize that I have too many slides on my presentation, so maybe I will pause a bit on some slides, and maybe I will skip some others. So first, Aruba. Aruba was founded in 2002 by Kirti Melkote, who is still our SVP. And then the company went public, so it's a company from the Santa Clara in the Bay Area, startup from the Bay Area. In 2007, we did an IPO and went public, and continued to grow on the wireless LAN space. And in 2015, we've been acquired by HP, by the HPE Organize, and then we became the HPE Aruba. Units. So what do we do is that in the HPE organization, we are the edge, intelligent edge. So clearly, we cover everything that belongs to networking, wireless LAN, wired, security, location-based services, and IoT. IoT falls also into our organization. Aruba has always been a pioneer and always been very well credited by the different analysts, so Gartner and IDC and Forrester and others. And we always had an indirect business model. Since the inception of a company, we built an indirect business model, so we sell through value-added partners, of course, like Datacentrics. So let me just a quick move on this. So Aruba was born, if you've seen the dates, Aruba was born in the era of mobility, cloud, IoT. So clearly it forced us in a way to think the networking as a more intelligent way and with some clear objectives. One, I know it has been already said today, but it's really important, and I will give you some examples. Scale. So we needed really to build a scalable infrastructure that meets the growth. We wanted also to have a very simple way of growing and scale this infrastructure. Then, of course, the speed, because you will see, I will give you also some examples of how fast this transformation is happening. Also, what happened is that rapidly, when you see BYOD phenomenon appeared on the market, I think if I remember correctly, was in 2009 when Steve Jobs, you know, came on stage with his iPad, and every executives in companies wanted to onboard, of course, their iPad, which was not sanctioned by the company IT, and then of course as you lead by the example, these executives onboarded their iPads, and then, of course, their employees wanted to do the same. And rapidly, the companies faced the challenge of onboarding not only hundreds, but thousands of devices like that. So clearly, security became very rapidly a major concern. And this is why we've made acquisitions along the years and our history to fill that gap as well. So, like I said, and I will maybe skip that a bit, but you know, the different in the evolution of the IT, as you can see, the different main steps. Clearly, the BYOD has completely transformed the way we work with our customers. So, that's the maybe for those who didn't know well about HPE Aruba, so we are not an exotic company, okay, so we are very well positioned, as you can see. Aruba was, even on when Gartner used to issue their wireless LAN magic quadrant, we were by far the most visionary company. And since, of course, we recombined the networking business and became HPE Aruba, we've grown up clearly in the ability of execution. The trends of the market are also very different. So the switching business, which is, of course, also logical as wireless LAN became already years ago the primary network, it means that there is clearly a big difference with the common average growth on the market between wireless LAN and the switching. The switching business, more or less worldwide, is between declining between 0 and 5%, depending on the regions and the countries, when the wireless LAN CAGR is about 14%. HPE Aruba actually is positive on the switching business. We still continue to grow even on a declining market. And on the wireless LAN, we grow 2.5 times faster than the market. So it gives you an idea. It's above 30% year-on-year growth. So I thought maybe I would spend more time today to give you some concrete examples, some use cases. Here is an example, and I don't have slides for all of that, so I will illustrate with names. And I travel all around the region, and so I meet lots of customers, and I will give you some examples, other examples than just in the presentation. Here is an example of the intelligent building. And intelligent building is clearly what we've done for ourselves, so we clearly eat our own dog food here, where we've built our headquarter in Santa Clara in a very, very open and collaborative design. So clearly, we've removed all the IP phones. We've done that for years, by the way. And we moved to Skype for Business. And this is also what Travelers has done for their 300 offices. So clearly, mobility, whether you are on the mobile, whether you are on the tablet or a laptop, clearly offer you the possibility to use Skype for Business. Skype for Business, of course, is a big driver. It's a big driver for us. Why? Because we developed the APIs with Microsoft. Microsoft is a worldwide customer of Aruba. They have our solutions in all their premises. And we also developed the APIs with them. So that help us decrypting the voice traffic of the Skype for Business. And we can analyze the traffic, voice over data. We can QoS the traffic. We can troubleshoot the traffic as well. And so that clearly improves significantly the user experience. Because what happens if you move to Skype for Business and it sucks completely? What happened, I can tell you, because I've met some customers. As there is no IP phone anymore, customers go back to their mobile phone. And then the expense and OPEX goes up. So clearly, better have a good infrastructure for that. In the area of retail, and I will maybe pose a bit on the retail. Here is an example, just took that one because it's a big deal we've done with Home Depot in the US. What we've done when I talk about scale and speed, Home Depot's been able to deploy our solutions across 2,200 stores in 9 months. It means that we deploy every night 20 stores per night. So you can see the speed of the deployment and the scale. We are talking about 70,000 APs and about 2,500 apparently switches. So it gives you also the scale of the solution. So clearly, there are two objectives here for the retail, and I think that's maybe where clearly there is the user experience, and you want to make sure your customers and visitors are happy and have a great user experience. So you build an app, and we have the toolkit and APIs for that, of course, and so you develop the app, and then you can offer different services. But the benefit clearly for you is to know also who your customers are. And every end user, they want to know their customers, especially in the large public venues and the retail market. Some other examples is in the cosmetics in EMEA with Sephora, and we have many brands like Zara, for example. I think everybody knows Zara. We've deployed Zara across the world in more than 6,000 stores, and Massimo Dutti, Dolce Gabbana, Benetton, Guess, and many, many others. But clearly, what our customers want to do is just to know their traffic. So clearly, One thing is that if you know your customers, if you know your, and this is where the analytics, of course, is important, if you know their customer behavior, their purchasing behavior, as soon as you approach the store, then you can direct them directly where to some sweet spot where you know there are some promos and some stuff that they like and they used to buy. So you can push coupons. And with the solution, you can push coupons. This is how you can start monetizing your infrastructure. And if I take another example, is shopping mall. If I take the Dubai shopping malls, you know, you have the biggest malls in the world. You have the Mall of the Emirates and Dubai Mall. Dubai Mall is our partner there has deployed 30,000 beacons. 30,000 beacons. Why is it done that? Why a mall is so important in Dubai? Because it is damn hot in Dubai. It's these days it's about 50 degrees outside, between 45 and 50 degrees. It's very humid, so you don't see anyone walking on the street, you know. So if people want to walk, they have to go into the mall. When they go, so they spend a lot of time in the mall. So when they associate into the mall, first, of course, the mall knows the visitors. You can say, welcome back, Fred, and happy to see you again today. And then you can start monetizing the infrastructure. It means that the mall can push coupons of the different stores, and then as you approach, as you walk down the different aisles in the mall, and because we can locate you, of course, with a very, very precise accuracy of less than a meter. So clearly, it means that we know you're approaching. If you are a man, I like DIY, then I can, as soon as I approach, I get a coupon of 20% in the next hour. And then the mall will charge royalties back to the store. But that works also for an airport. An airport is, of course, you have airline companies and you have all the aircraft. But in a way, an airport is also a mall. If you go to Dubai, if you go to the airports now, you have stores everywhere, or always almost the same stores. Same story here. Heathrow Airport, Terminal 5, what we've done is that it's a very connecting terminal. So the airport started to think about, okay, how we can monetize our mobility infrastructure. And what they've done here is that if they can identify there is a person has a connecting flight at the gate for waiting for 2 hours, so then they can start pushing a coupon saying, okay, if you go to that store, and indicate the wayfinding. So it indicates you the way to get there, it indicates you the time to get to the store, and you know that you will get 20% discount, and you know you have the time to make a purchase. And this is how they start incrementing their revenue. I know that Marco, one of my colleagues, just before mentioned the stadium. Stadium is another very nice use case. Levi's Stadium is a stadium in Santa Clara in the US, in California. And we've developed an app with a partner named VenueNext. They are specialized in developing apps for stadiums. And what they've done is that they develop an app. So with the app, of course, you can buy a ticket. You can check the next game or a concert or whatever. But what you can do as well is also buy the parking lot. And you can also order food. You can order food for you, or you can order food also for friends and are not sitting next to you to another seat. Levi Stadium generated $1.2 million of revenue buying hot dogs, burgers, and beers. That's a way of monetizing. Of course, there are other services. If you want to go to the gents or ladies, the app can indicate you, actually, you will wait 10 minutes here or 5 minutes this one. Because, of course, we can count the number of devices and the MAC addresses of all the people that are queuing. That's the kind of services and how to find your seat and all this. So clearly, it indicates you the way that we can monetize an infrastructure. I talked about scale, and I give you some examples of other customers, but let's go down to South Africa. South Africa, if you take the University of Pretoria, and I know we have also the University of Free State here, so thank you guys for being here. University of Pretoria, on board, and just before I give you that example, concrete example, several years ago we did a survey. It was in Boston University, and we tried to understand the Gen Y phenomenon, and you know, all these Gen Mobile and that. And so in the survey, one outcome was the number of devices that the students were using. And I will not ask a question because I have the lights and I probably won't see your hands. But I guess everybody will say, okay, they have about 3 wireless LAN devices. I can tell you it is way below the average. The average was 7. So might think, okay, 7, how is that possible? A student in the dorms, they have a mobile phone, they have a laptop, they have a tablet, they have a printer, they have an HDTV over Wi-Fi, they have a sound system, they have a game console. You're already at 7 on an average. So clearly, you imagine the challenges. The challenges were density, roaming, traffic, type of shaping applications. What are the professional applications you want to prioritize in your organization versus people who are on Facebook or Twitter? Or you can imagine students, they spend time on Twitter and Facebook, or now Instagram or others. So clearly, but that applies to any organization. You might want to prioritize your Outlook traffic or file transfer or SAP traffic over, you know, kind of just download or streaming. You might want to prevent any streaming, for example, in your organization. So clearly, that was a big thing. And in terms of scalability, of course, when we talk about these 7 devices, even if that's not the case, but University of Pretoria, and I come back to my example, they onboard every day 350,000 devices every day. So you better have a very scalable and secure solution. So this is where we have ClearPass, our policy manager, that helps indicating, okay, who's connecting, which device they are using, where they're connecting, and what times they're connecting. And this is the role-based, the contextual view you can obtain from the people that are onboarding on your network. And of course, security is key because first you need to know what they are doing, and because you're responsible of the traffic, but for legal compliance or for any other reasons. And hackings. That's an example. We skip this one. It's just United Airlines use the distributed 60,000 mobile devices to fasten the onboarding of awaiting passengers. When I mentioned the case of Zara distributed 17,000 iPads to their employees when they decided to deploy massively mobility. So, I said security is a big concern. We did a survey across more than 3,000 large enterprises across the world, and 56% of them said that they already experienced an IoT deployment and practice. But what is scary is that 84% of them said that they already experienced security breach. So that is the most critical part of the IoT. So clearly, what are in IoT strategy, and we don't have too much time to discuss that, but clearly, first, the thing is, what are the objectives? What are your goals? What is the, clearly, instead, do you need the sensors like lightning sensors or access control or that? That's just the technology at the end. The main objective is, okay, do you want to improve your operational efficiency? Do you want to mitigate the risk? Do you want to increase your productivity? And once you've been through all this is where we together can, 5 minutes, thank you. This is where we can build for you the foundation and enable the digital transformation and the IoT onboarding in your use cases. So all the examples I gave you, you can see that I'm not talking about technology and 11AC, wave one, wave two, and this and that. It's more about, okay, technology comes after, but first we need to understand how you can, what are your objectives. And then we will be the organization, the infrastructure. Of course, here we can see ransomware. I can tell you that WannaCry recently accelerated massively the adoption of anti-malware solutions or that kind of solution products. So we recently, and you can see that also on your stand, clearly we just announced recently the 8400, which is our biggest core switch from all the switching portfolio we have today. It's a very high and resilient switch. I invite you to go there. We also, and I have an example, because when we talk about asset tracking, this is an asset tracker, you can see. Tiny coin, you can put that on a device, any asset, and start tracking. I know hospitals have a big challenge managing their beds, or managing any kind of devices, cardio devices or whatever, and that is solving the problem, because you can then locate immediately where the devices are and improve the efficiency and the service. And we also recently acquired Niara. So Niara is in end user behavior analysis, and something we can also explain there. So that is, and this is probably one of my last slide. This is the product portfolio we have today. You have four layers, as you can see, three layers, but the one is top is split by two. Clearly, we have the hardware, and I need two clicks here. We have the hardware, then we have all the software layer, networking management, security, location-based services, and user behavior analysis. And then on top of that, we have the business applications and the ecosystem of partners. We have more than 150 partners. You might want to go and purchase reseller, but you might want to go through managed services. So that's my last slide. Please don't hesitate to come and understand if you have any questions. Thank you for your time.
So being able